Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Brian Mazeroski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice Friday out there. We'll get right to it. Joining us this morning, Johan Hari. He's the author of the new book, Magic Pill: The Extraordinary Benefits and Disturbing Risks of the New Weight Loss Drugs. And it's something I find so fascinating. Glad to bring Johan on to the WBEN Trocare College Live Line this morning. Good morning. I want to start with this, Johan. I saw a study recently out there. I feel like there's a new one every week. It said 1 in 8 adults in the U.S. have used a GLP drug at some point, like Ozempic or Wegovy, or, you know, all of these other drugs that are out there. Now, I feel like that number is quite a bit high if we're talking Buffalo, New York, where we're talking to you from right now, but it just kind of goes to show how their popularity has just exploded. I'm wondering when you became aware of this, when you started working on this book.
Yeah, so I started working on it more than a year and a half ago, and, you know, there really is something new here that is extraordinary. We now have drugs that reliably cause the average person to lose between 15 and 24% of their body weight. That's why 1 in 8 is pretty small right now, because 47% of Americans want to use these drugs. And for the moment I learned about these drugs, I felt really conflicted, because I immediately thought, look, I'm older now than my grandfather ever got to be. He died of a heart attack when he was 44. Loads of the men in my family die of heart disease, which is one of over 200 diseases that is made much more likely, sadly, by being obese. So I thought, wow, if we've got a drug that can reverse obesity, that's going to have a big impact on health. But I also thought, okay, I've seen this story before. Every 20 years or so, a new miracle diet drug is announced. We all stampede to take it, and it's always discovered to have some horrific side effect. So I spent a year traveling all over the world, from Iceland to Minneapolis to Japan, to interview over 100 of the leading experts on these drugs and people affected by different aspects of it, to really get to the bottom of what is this going to mean. This is the beginning of an extraordinary revolution. What is it going to mean for all of us, our health, our lives, our culture?
When you talk to people about this, I mean, is it still, this might seem like an obvious question, I'm sorry, but is it still losing weight the old-fashioned way the healthier route to go than taking something to do it like with Ozempic?
Yeah, you're definitely right. If you can lose weight through calorie restriction and exercise, you should do that. There are 12 big risks associated with these drugs that I go through in the book. Some of them I'm worried about. Some of them I experienced myself because I took the drug for the book, and I'm still taking it now. I can explain why. You're absolutely right. You should try those other ways first. But let's be honest, I've never met a fat person, an overweight person like I was for so long who hadn't tried dieting. Sadly, dieting does work for some people. Unfortunately, in the longer term, 90% of people do regain the weight. Try to be in that 10%. Good luck to you. I'm totally on your side. But if you're not, we've got to look at both other options and the underlying factors which have made obesity blow up in our lifetimes and how we can deal with them.
You mentioned you're taking the drug. You started for the book, and you still are, despite what you say are 12 big risks. So obviously for you, you think that this outweighs whatever those risks are.
I think what everyone who's listening who's overweight or obese has to do is something that's quite difficult. You have to weigh two sets of risks. You have to weigh the risks of obesity against the risks of these drugs. Realistically, I would have continued to be obese, right? I've been obese most of my adult life. Diets had never worked for very long for me. And I have to say, I was quite shocked by learning the evidence about just how bad for you obesity is. I mean, over 200 known diseases, from diabetes to dementia to cancer, all made much more likely by obesity. So you've got to weigh those risks against the 12 significant risks of the drug. And I think people really need to go through. For me, you know, these drugs cause, if you start with a BMI higher than 27, these drugs mean you're 20% less likely to have a heart attack or stroke, So for me, that decided it. For me, that outweighed the quite significant risks on the other side. But other people will have different. I really think people need to go down the list of the risks I lay out in my book, Magic Pill, on both sides and see which ones apply for them. And, you know, it's hard to tell at the moment because there's a lot we don't know, but there is a lot we do know. And there's significant risks on both sides.
Is this something that you will have to continue to take? Because like you said, you want to be able to keep the weight off. Is there an end game? Is there a time where, okay, I'm at the healthy, at the weight I want to be at, I stop taking this? Or is this something you will have to take for the rest of your life to maintain what you've accomplished on the quote magic pill?
Yeah, and I want to be clear, I'm using magic pill slightly ironically, but the
right.
It's an important question. The honest answer is we don't know. It looks at the moment like most people, about 70% of people in the study who stop taking the drug regain most of the weight within a year. But there do seem to be some people who take the drug, use it to radically interrupt their habits, and then stop and maintain a lower weight. But it's really interesting to think about how it makes you feel, because I'll never forget this. It was the strangest thing. The second day after I took Ozempic, I woke up and I was lying in bed. And I thought, I feel something strange in my body. What is it? And I couldn't quite place it. I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realized I'd woken up and I wasn't hungry. And I don't remember that ever happening to me before. I'd eaten a diet almost entirely of processed and ultra processed foods all my life. And I went to this diner just up the street from where I live that I used to go to every morning. And I ordered what I used to order every day, which was a huge chicken sandwich with loads of mayo. And I had like three mouthfuls of it. And I just felt full really quickly. It was really strange. And what these drugs do to you is, so if you ate something now, Brian, your pancreas would, after a little while, would produce a hormone called GLP-1. GLP-1 is just part of your body's natural signals going, hey, Brian, you've had enough, stop eating, right? But natural GLP-1 only stays in your system for a few minutes. What these drugs do is they inject you with an artificial copy of GLP-1, which instead of washing away in a few minutes, stays in your body for a whole week. It's why you feel so full so quickly and why I lost 42 pounds in a year. So the effect is quite dramatic.
It's dramatic on that feeling of hunger. Is it dramatic in other ways too? You know, if this makes you feel so full from a little amount of food, I mean, could it make you feel satisfied in other ways that might not even relate to your weight or what you're eating?
Yeah, there's some scientists who are debating this, whether it, some scientists, I want to stress this is pretty speculative, believe it might not actually be a weight loss drug. It might be a self-regulation or self-control drug. It does seem, we know within animal studies, rats, if you give it to rats that have been heavily using heroin or fentanyl or cocaine or alcohol, they have a massive fall in how much they use. So there's a lot of optimism. We need a lot more research before we apply it to humans, obviously. But I actually think there's a different way in which that deeper effect played out for me. So some doctors are concerned, and this is disputed, that in some people it seems to be causing depression or even suicidal feelings in a small minority of people. And I think I had a kind of realization about this when I was taking it. The first 6 months, I was losing loads of weight, and I felt physically fitter, but weirdly, emotionally, I did not feel better. Actually, anything, I wasn't depressed, but I felt kind of muted. And I had a real realization about this. I was in Vegas and I went to this branch of KFC I've been to 1,000 times. I'd had a bad day. And I ordered what I would have ordered, you know, before I was on Ozempic. I ordered a bucket of fried chicken, right, to soothe myself. And I ate one chicken drumstick and I suddenly realized, oh, I can't eat this, right? When you're on Ozempic, you can't overeat. You would vomit if you tried to eat too much. And I suddenly realized, yeah, I was aware of this to some degree, but it was much clearer to me. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I had eaten, I think primarily actually to calm myself down, to soothe my feelings. I grew up in a family with a lot of chaos and addiction. And what these drugs do is they radically interrupt your eating patterns. Obviously, that's a good thing. It's why you lose weight. But what that can do is bring to the surface the underlying emotional drivers of why we eat. And that can be a good thing, right? There's better solutions to feeling bad than a bucket of KFC. But that's a difficult transition. And there's a lot of things I think people need to be psychologically prepared for when they're thinking of taking these drugs that I go through in my book, Magic Pill. In addition to the 12 big risks, in addition to the extraordinary benefits, I do think there's a lot that people need to think about very carefully if they're thinking of going on this journey.
What sort of impact do you think this has on the future? You mentioned, one in eight might be taking it, but way more want to take it. I mean, if we ever get to that point where all of a sudden people have a choice, hey, you can take this drug and not have to deal with your weight problem anymore, regardless of, you know, the health benefits, the possible unknown of, you know, the future of taking this again and again and again if you start at a young age, right? I mean, just on the world, on society, what do you think the impact is?
Yeah. I think it's such a smart question. You know, Barclays Bank commissioned a very sober-minded financial analyst to go away and figure out what this would mean for their investment decisions. She came back and said, the best comparison for this moment is the invention of the smartphone, right? This is me speaking now, but her, not her, but the, this is going to transform the society. You know, 8 years from now, this will be a daily pill and it will cost a dollar a day because by then Ozempic goes out of patent, so it'll be extremely cheap. I think it's probably, if none of the 12 risks turn out to be significantly worse than we think, it's an underestimate to say 47% of people will be taking it. You know, 70% of Americans are overweight or obese. I think it will change the world for better and for worse. It will reduce the number of heart attacks, strokes, but there's a lot of things I'm really worried about, particularly eating disorders. You know, already young girls, and it's over women and young girls who get eating disorders, are getting hold of these drugs and starving themselves. In the worst case scenario, there could be an opioid-like death toll of young girls who are able to starve themselves to death with these drugs who would not have been able to otherwise. It's why Dr. Kimberly Dennis, who's one of the leading experts on this, warns this is rocket fuel for eating disorders. You alluded to one in your question really smartly, I think. Just the unknowns, right? We have no idea what the long-term effects of these drugs are. We do know it was initially thought they mainly work on your gut. In fact, we now know, you know, for my book Magic Pill, I interviewed the leading neuroscientist. We now know it actually mainly works on your brain, right? It's changing your brain. It's changing what you want. What is the effect of chronically activating the brain a decade after decade? We have absolutely no idea. And you also alluded to a really important question. That's enough of a dilemma for me. I'm a 45-year-old man making that choice for myself. But when we're making that decision for children, and Novo Nordisk, the company who make these one set of these drugs, is trialing giving it to children as young as 6 years old, these kids are going to be taking this for, what, 80 years, presumably? What's the effect of that? We don't know. There's a lot of risks here. Again, you've got to weigh those risks against the risks of obesity, which are very severe. And most importantly, we've got to deal with the underlying factors that caused obesity to blow up in our lifetimes. And I went to countries that have done that, like Japan. I write about how they have almost no childhood obesity and how we could do the same. So I think we've got to, essentially, when you start looking at these drugs, it opens up so many questions emotionally about the food industry, about the way our societies work. This is going to transform how we think about the shame we feel about obesity. I was so ashamed at being fat, right? I've got to level with you about that. And this has really changed that as well. So there's so much here for us to think about. And I hope my book Magic Pill gives people a kind of chance to take a beat and really think about this extraordinary revolution that's happening all around us, has begun, and is coming for Buffalo, I guarantee you.
Yeah, well, maybe sooner rather than later, the way you lay it out. Johan, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Johan Hari, the new book is Magic Pill, The Extraordinary Benefits and Disturbing Risks of the New Weight Loss Drugs, joining us. This book came out just last week, and this might be... You hear Johan talk about it, Joe, and all of the, especially at the end there, all of the things that we don't quite know.
Right.
And he mentions, like, the iPhone as this, like, crazy turning point in history where we still don't know what it leads us to. But, like, when the iPhone, you know, when Steve Jobs is on that stage swiping the phone and everyone's going, ooh, like, oh, that's cool. Like, can't wait to have, you know... Yahoo.com in my pocket, yeah. Right? Like, and who could ever have seen at that moment that kids would be addicted to 13-second videos, right, made by China, yeah, right? Like, it just, it never would have ever, like, crossed your mind, or just all these other things that, you know, I could buy anything in the world and have it at my doorstep in a week with the click of a button on this thing. That, I mean, think of something as simple as this, Joe. Because this is, I'm holding this pretending it's something else.
Yeah.
That tickets,
oh, yeah,
would be gone. Right? Like, we've talked about that before. That, you know, you have tickets to a concert, to a game. No, you don't. It's all on your phone.
You have a pass on your phone.
You know, they introduce this thing, and just like all these little things that you would never have thought of happen in the future. And I say tickets like, oh, it's so trivial. But think about it with Ozempic. you know, all of a sudden, nobody's hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, people are not buying a ho-ho from a gas station. All of a sudden, that peanut stick is not just too big for a regular stomach. It's just I can eat the dusting off the top of it.
And be full.
I mean, what are the ways that that is going to change? There are already reports of airlines looking at the future and saying, we may be saving money on jet fuel 10 years down the line because it'll cost less and we'll have to use less because our load will be less.
Yeah.
Because people might weigh a little bit less. All these different things coming from this one moment. I mean, it could be as transformational as that iPhone moment.
It could be. But, you know, we still have to see the long-term effects, right, of taking this for weight loss. It is something that was made for diabetes. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out and does it become more available, as I think we're already starting to see that here in the States.
Well, no, as Johan said right there, the big thing is about 8 years from now, when this, like you see in a lot of other drugs, when the patent expires,
yeah,
when this becomes a, you know, generic, quote-unquote, drug to put out, and then the price drops and all of a sudden a million different people are making it, you will be able to have this for, you know, he said $1 a day. I mean,
yep.
or what is it? Whatever that price is, you'll be able to have it at the non-cost prohibitive number that it's at right now. And I guess what I'm interested to know from a lot of people out there, 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN, 803-0930, is, I mean, like, what is your comfort level with the unknowns that you have versus the benefits that you see? We have sat in here, you and I, Joe, every day for the last year looking up at TV, and you say the same thing every single time we leave. You go, wow, Kelly Clarkson is looking great.
She is.
And I'm just looking at a story because I was, you know, trying to find some Ozempic, you know, new in the news type of things. Well, they just did a story. Oh, she's using whatever, you know. She said it's not Ozempic, but it doesn't matter. It's all the same. You
right.
know, it's one of these GLP drugs. I mean, it's, I want to know what your comfort level is right now with this. And that is in all forms, right? You heard Johan say you have to make that decision for yourself. You know, if you're so severely overweight, then all these risks or unknowns, well, they might not matter to you because you have a serious health problem to
right.
deal with right now.
You
that totally makes sense. What's your comfort level of one day giving it to your kid? What's your comfort level of knowing that you are potentially going to have to take this for the rest of your life? You know, what are you thinking about that? I'd love to hear from you today.
Yeah, I, you know, I wish I could lose a few pounds, Brian. I think I've been pretty vocal about that. But I don't think I'm at the point where I have the health risks of someone who is severely overweight, someone who is obese. I can definitely see someone who, you know, has tried everything and, you know, goes to the doctor and says, you have to lose weight, your blood pressure's this, your heart's this, and, you know, you've got this drug. Yeah, okay, there's side effects, but there's side effects if I don't use it, right? And I know there's so many people in that position where this literally could be a life-saving drug. And I could definitely understand wanting to, like Johan said, go to this because, yeah, you have tried everything and you are feeling the effects of the extra weight you're carrying around.
I think it's super interesting. I think the impact is TBD and the unknown is very great. What do you think? 803-0930, B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian and Joe here with you on WBEN 803-0930 to join us as we talked about a lot in the first segment. Ozempic, a lot of these weight loss drugs. We spoke to the writer of Magic Pill, a new book that looks at the benefits and risks of those drugs like Ozempic, Johan Hari. If you missed that, you'll hear it on demand over at WBEN.com or wherever you get your podcasts, if you subscribe to BMAZ and Beamer. Joe, it's kind of described in this book as one of the things that will radically change society. And after talking with Johan, I think I kind of agree. You know, somebody on the text board chimed in and said, you know, it's $1,000 a month. Who can afford that? And there's a couple things. You know, one, the important part is, well, it's not there yet, but when this becomes, you know, the generic drug, when that patent ends, which is in about 8 years, it will be extremely affordable mm-hmm. because everybody will be making it, you know, in the hopes of kind of capitalizing on this. So that's going to change sooner rather than later. But, you know, as for the right now part, I saw that report where it says 38%, or no, it wasn't 38%, it was 1 in 8 of adults in the U.S. have used one of these drugs at some point. And I said, well, I thought that number is crazy high. Now, that it would include people who were prescribed these drugs as a diabetic, right? So, I mean, that would, you know, put into some of those numbers. But I think it's high for Buffalo right now. If you go to some of these other bigger cities, maybe it's not that high. You know, if you go to the coast out in California, maybe 1 in 8 is a little bit more in line with what you'd see. But $1,000, like when you're thinking of this, I actually don't think $1,000 a month is, you know, they say, who can afford that? Well, I couldn't afford that. You know, a lot of people yeah. couldn't afford that. But I think this is one of those things. If you looked at it and said, this is what I need, it's something you would find a way to afford, right? We're living in a time where, as we talked about yesterday, people are paying $250 for a ticket in the nosebleeds to a Bills game in like week 6.
Yeah.
So $1,000, when it comes to your health, right? I mean, this is something that is going to radically transform you, yourself. $1,000 is, I mean, it's a lot of money, but compared to other things that we spend money on.
And what you might have to pay if.
Yeah, yeah. It really isn't.
Right.
At least when you're putting it in that lens.
Also, I might be mistaken, and if I am, I apologize. But I think if a doctor prescribes it, which this does need a prescription, you might be able to get a insurance discount on it. So I'm sure there are people out there that are not paying $1,000 a month for Ozempic.
I would say that's probably most people
yeah.
who have this are you know, working with some sort of workaround.
But to your point, even if it was $1,000, I know there are people out there, as Johan said, who have tried everything. And, you know, hey, if you don't address this now, and this is a miracle for those people, the health risks that you are facing every day, they pile up. And let me tell you, in the long run, will cost you a lot more than something financial. And I think that's where you see a lot of people, that 1 in 8, they're saying, hey, I got to do something. I am not a healthy person.
The average car payment is $738 a month,
whoa,
according to some numbers. That's the fourth quarter of 2023. $1,000 a month when you're talking about your health.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are spending money on, you know, to drive like some crazy car or, you know, this or that. Like, this is something that it's not anything frivolous.
Right. No.
Right? I mean, this is changing your life. So just to that cost point, I don't think it's as big of a barrier to a lot of people as you would kind of make it see. What I do think is a huge barrier are some of the unknowns. And, you know, what's your level of comfortability with these drugs, with Ozempic and things like that? And that's what I'm interested in for a lot of people. 803-0930. Would you take it not knowing necessarily the long-term effect? Or would you take it knowing that very likely to keep the effect of the drug, you have to keep taking it indefinitely? Would you feel comfortable giving this to a child knowing that last part? And like, these are the questions that I think a lot of people are, if they're not looking at it right now, you might be looking at it in the coming years.
I'd like to hear from someone who's on it, who's used Ozempic, and you know, what drove you to that? Did you try everything? What drove you to the point? And if you're on it, obviously you've weighed the risks. So I'd be interested. You know, giving it to kids, Brian, I think that's a whole nother thing. Again, as a parent, that's your decision. But I think that's a whole nother thing. And I would actually, if hopefully my child's not does not. You know, I don't have to make this decision, but I'd like to see more years of people using this as a weight loss drug than what we have right now in front of us.
Well, yeah, the decision is don't get to the point where you have to use
that's,
it.
Like that, right.
That is what, I mean, it's almost like you can make it a black and white thing. You know, if we're going to live in a future where we say as a society, right, because enough people use these drugs, and there is something about, like, over the last 20, 30 years, like, we've just kind of gotten fat.
Yes.
Right? Like, as a country, as a society, and you see it everywhere, and then you compare, you know, it's like, hold up a pair of pants, you know, the medium now versus, like, back then. Like, what's it, or like, a t-shirt is the perfect one.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about this a few times, like, you buy older stuff or used things. Like, I'll see listings. It's an 80s large. Which means it's like a small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a good,
like,
style, though.
It's right, but like it's a totally different size. Like, their large is different than our large. We've grown to this. If we're gonna shrink, which very well might happen, like if a bunch of people are gonna start using this and we're gonna go back to like, hey, yeah, actually healthy at every size is like, it's actually better to have a decent, well-maintained weight, at least within a reasonable range here. If we're going to go back to that, and now you are kind of at that black and white decision where it's like, okay, well, fat is not an option anymore. So it's either going to be, we have to totally redo the way we eat. We have to totally rethink healthiness in this country. We have to totally, on a family level, like, we all have to buy in so that we're setting our kids up to not be eating junk, you know, even if we eat junk, or you're going to be taking this medication for the rest of your life. What do you think most people choose?
That's,
I think,
the thing.
It's the medication.
I'm hoping not. See, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping what happens is you have people that, yes, they make this great transformation, and you know, they gain their health. Now, I'm hoping you gain this transformation. Guess what you do? You know what? I don't want to be injecting myself with medication the rest of my life. I'm going to start working out while I'm still on the medication, while I'm at this weight, and I'm going to use this to maintain. Now, maybe that's not possible for, I don't know. But I'm hoping what happens, Brian, is enough people, right, use this. Oh my gosh, look at the transformation. And then you have someone say, you know what? I don't want to inject myself with medication the rest of my life. I'm going to clean up my diet. I'm going to make sure my child's eating a healthy diet. And when I go to the gym, I'm going to bring my kid with me. I don't think that's that crazy. I'm hoping that's what more Americans do. I'm hoping this pushes the Americans that aren't on the medication to say, you know what, I'm not going to stick myself with this medication. I'm going to go lose the weight, stay healthy, maintain a healthy lifestyle, stop eating all the fried stuff. I'm actually just talking in the mirror right now. Stop eating all the fried stuff that I've been eating over the last few years. That's me in the mirror.
But do you think like that's, see, I don't think it's going to work the way you're thinking of it here.
Maybe I'm in, what's the word?
Fantasy land.
Yeah.
Right, because right now that same conversation has been happening for the last 30 years, right? It's like, oh, you know, if I keep doing all this, like I'm going to be an unhealthy, overweight, like it's not going to be good. And now you're just telling me the decision's going to change between, well, if I don't stop eating all this, I'm going to have to take a medication to be thin. Right,
it's wishful thinking, Brian, but that's what I'm hoping people do.
But like those are the decisions. Like that's the decision now versus the decision maybe in just 10 years is fat is not an option.
What I'm hoping, and again, yeah, you're right. It's wishful thinking. You're right, Brian. I'm just trying to take the other side. I'm hoping.
No, I'm not saying that like not everybody. But I would look at it and think of it that way because I am the type of person. It doesn't matter if it's ibuprofen or whatever. Yeah. It's the doc. We played this thing this morning, right? That said, hey, guess what? Brian was right. You don't really have to go to the dentist every 6 months. they're looking at all this stuff. I am that person in life where it doesn't matter how small the medication is. I don't want to take like anything aside from a multivitamin every day. So there are going to be people who look at it and think of it that way that you're laying out.
There are. But I think what we also have to look at, and this is the reason I think this is a big factor into why we've gotten to the point we're at, we're lazy. And I think a lot of people are going to look at, like you say, they're going to see the medication and go, that's the easy way out. I'm hoping that you see someone who's, you know, maybe your neighbor's very overweight and you see them lose weight and like, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd see Bob at that weight. And that would drive you to at the weight you're at, not get to where Bob was and start cleaning up your diet before it gets to the point where you have to stick yourself with medication. Does that make sense? That's what I'm hoping happens to the majority of Americans over these next few years. However, I say that thinking that we're lazy and if I can just do it with a medication, I'll stick my gut with the off-brand Ozempic.
But it's like everything else. You know, I just don't see it happening that way. Right?
I also because don't see a point where we're going to get to everyone is thin. I mean, I still think we're going to have people that just say, yeah, I'm living my life.
I mean, probably. Yeah. But I also, we might already be here where you have, you know, Kelly Clarkson, right? The other, and it was, she was talking to Whoopi Goldberg about it. And both of them in the conversation was like, yeah, I'm using it. It's great. It's really helped me with my weight or whatever. Like, as more and more people do this, and as we go, like, you know, a year, 3 years, 5 years down the line, and it's not just, you know, people in Hollywood or people you might watch on TV or something like that, but then all of a sudden it's more and more people that you know using it, and it becomes more and more accepted. Joe, I think it's like anything else,
yeah.
Right? It's like Facebook. How many people in your life throughout, you know, and it doesn't matter even the age, your parents' age, your age, or anyone younger than you, and it doesn't have to even be Facebook, but like any of these social medias, I'm never going to be on social media, like I don't want to do that or anything like that, and then they see everybody else is on it, and like, all right, well, maybe it's not that bad. You go and do it.
We are on a radio station that ran liners, Facebook, I don't think so, and now has a Facebook page.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Right, but like that, I know it's, you know, comparing social media to a drug, but there is that effect it has. Like, right, it becomes more popular.
It's accepted.
You see people use it. Well, it's accepted, but also kind of seen as like, well, I guess it's not that bad.
Right.
Like in that attitude.
To be fair, we don't know. Like we don't know. We don't know what the effects are. And I'm sorry. I know I'm not as young as I once was. But even at 35, Brian, I would not want to commit to taking a drug for the rest of my life. At 35, I'm hoping I still have more time ahead of me than I have behind me. I wouldn't want to dedicate saying, well, the rest of my life, I have to take this pill. But again, I am not to the point where a lot of people are. And I do understand the people who are at the point where they've tried everything. I get that. I'm just hoping that maybe this, like I said, this will push people who are at that halfway point and say, you know what, I'm cleaning up my act. I'm doing this now so I don't have to get to the point where I have to depend on a medication for the rest of my life.
I don't think we're far off of, because there's still an attitude there of like, oh, you know, you just took the weight loss drug. I don't think we're far off of that just being completely removed. You know, like there's still, I think, I would be willing to bet if you polled the country and said, like, well, you put it out there in the question of, is it better to, or do you have more respect for somebody who, or, you know, is losing weight or having a healthy lifestyle the traditional way or aided by this medication? I still think people who take the medication now are looked at as, you know, cheaters in a little bit of a way. I don't think we're far removed from that being gone.
No, and I think that's already starting to be gone. I really do think that we're already moving away from that and going, well, good for you, right? Good for you, Kelly Clarkson. You look great. She does look great. I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything wrong. Kelly Clarkson, it looks amazing. I mean, you know.
Does it make you nervous? Like, this is where it makes me nervous, too. When we were talking with Johan earlier, he said, you know, at the beginning, when this started to be used for weight loss, there was a thought that this influenced the GLP in your gut, and this impacted your gut, and that's why you didn't feel. But now it's becoming more clear it's actually impacting your brain instead, and that's how it works. Does that scare you more?
It stops the signals from your stomach to your brain.
No.
It's kind of like...
it works inside your brain. Like, they thought it blocked or created this fake GLP
in your gut.
In your gut,
right.
But instead it's doing it
in your brain. You inject it in your gut.
Do you? I don't know.
I think you stab your gut with it.
Okay. The impact the drug is having is...
is on your brain.
On your brain.
Yeah, kind of like... maybe I'm... is it not like a painkiller that's telling your mind to stop, you know, to not think about the... it turns off that part that where it hurts.
Either way, just you mentioned brain. I don't want to do it.
No. Yeah. I mean, that... like I said, I would want to avoid this regardless just because we don't 100% know. But yeah, if it's sending signals to your brain... but... Brian, as we've learned, I mean, if you stop taking it, that signal turns right back on and you're right back to where you were, is how we understand it today.
Like I said, I think it'll be a game changer. If you missed the conversation, check it out. First half of the show over at WBEN.com. There are a couple of things I wanted to get to, Joe, before we're out of here. This one, because this is just all over. Every single outlet has ran a story just like this after the NFL announced that games will be on Netflix.
You'll need a cable or YouTube TV subscription plus the NFL Sunday Ticket. That's already over $1,200 for the year. Add in Amazon Prime Video for Thursday nights. That's $139. Peacock, ESPN Plus, and NFL Plus tax on another $199 as well. And now Netflix for Christmas Day. That's a whopping $1,610. Annually to watch football, or $134 a month.
That's at Ryan Bass with News Nation. That is every single news outlet I've seen the past 2 days has run something of, it will cost you $1,400, $1,600, whatever the price tag is, to watch every NFL game a year. That's a lie.
Yeah, you cancel the subscription after the season.
Or most people who watch the NFL... can do so paying absolutely nothing.
That's right, yeah. You don't have to pay a dime to watch the Bills. This season, any season.
If you're a fan of the team that plays in the market you live in, you can watch every single game over the air. All you need is an antenna or, you know, however you'd capture over the air programming.
That's right.
Then pretty much every other major game, Sunday night football, some of the Monday night games, are also available on broadcast TV.
That's right.
As are most of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. You don't need to pay anything.
No.
And then if you wanted to pay one of these other things,
get it for a month.
You get it for a month. I think it might cost you $100. Like, is this not the craziest form of sensationalism journalism like you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost you now to watch every NFL game. Nobody watches every NFL game.
No, they don't.
It would be literally impossible because there's 8 of them on at the same time.
Yeah.
You would need... actually, if you wanted to watch every NFL game, it would cost way more than this because you would need to go to Best Buy and buy 7 more TVs. Because you'd have to have them on at the same time.
Or you could just pay $14.99 a month during the season to have NFL Red Zone on the NFL app.
Yeah.
And you're all set.
It was unbelievable to me.
Before we get out of here, I do have to say, I'm sure he's listening, Brian. Happy birthday to my son. Turns one today. It was a year ago in the hospital. And he is. It's been one long year. Great year, don't get me wrong. One year. Turns one today.
Clip that. Save it for when he's 18.
But it is funny, though, right? It's funny how it seems like, wow, this has been my life for a while. And then you look like, it doesn't even seem that long ago that it was a year. It can be both at the same time.
We are clipping that.
Yeah, that's fair.
We are clipping that.
Don't miss Hardline Sunday. We'll be joined by many, including Dave Leventhal from Raw Story, talking about debates, Brian. Get ready, June 27th. You and I will be on the road, but there will be a debate.
Here's a question. Should the debate go back to the old, like the Lincoln-Douglas debate style?
What was Lincoln-Douglas debate style?
You talk for 60 minutes, the next person comes on, you uninterrupted, the next person comes, you get 90 minutes to talk about what the other person said, lay out your own, then the first person talk gets 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that would give a clear advantage to one of the two candidates.
If you can't talk about policy for 90 minutes, you probably shouldn't be president.
Yes, but I don't remember the last time there was a debate.
If you can't pay attention for 2 hours once every 4 years,
you shouldn't vote. Yeah. I just don't remember the last time a debate actually went the full hour just staying on policy. So that would be a welcome change.
I don't know. I'd be willing to try it out since we're getting crazy out there. But make sure you're listening to Hardline on Sunday and to David and the rest of us here at WBEN all coming up next. B-Maz and Beamer, we'll see you next week.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.